Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a good Wednesday night. Hope you guys checked out the first part of this series sermon that I'm preaching about true discipleship. It is 2021, and wow, guys, it's crazy. And this will be the second sermon for this year. And of course, we're dealing with the topic of true discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? And we're looking at salvation. And salvation to me is important, is critical for us to get that, to understand that, to explain it, to be able to quote scriptures like they're tattooed on our heart, that we know them. One of the troubling things that I went across, and I'll come across people that have been in church for 20 years or plus, and I'm encouraged because, hey, you're my brother, and we're talking, and I start listening to them, and I said, well, not to be arrogant, but how do you define salvation? And you get that look in their eyes, like now they're like they can't explain it. And I don't know what church they're going to. That'll be on the pastor one day. Because he is very important for that pastor, for his congregation, for him to be that teacher, to be that leader in the church. And I'm afraid many are not. And I want to tell you, I'm not roasting anybody today. That will be between you and God. And I promise you that conversation will not be pretty. When we are called to positions as pastors, Bible teachers, evangelists, we are held to a higher standard. Salvation. So, a little recap, and I encourage you guys to check that first part of this series out. I'm going to do a fast recap. We look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 7. And I want to apologize that I didn't miss verse 5 in the intro reading. But when I went through the body, I did hit on it. That sermon was put together really fast. That I wasn't planning to preach on that. And the Holy Spirit pulled my heart to get into it. So it's a little flustered and combined. I was trying to hit on a lot of topics. But I'm going a lot slower now. And I'll break them down more. But here in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 7. We know Paul is pointing to the cross. The cross is very important. See, the birth is very important. That promised Messiah. And we just got from Christmas, right? And I hope you guys had a wonderful Christmas and enjoyed your family. And all that stuff that goes along with that. And you had good church service. And you had that fellowship with your brothers and sisters. That birth was important. That was what we call the beginning of the new covenant. When Jesus came on sight, he was just a baby. And of course we know, he grew. He became a man. We know that his ministry began, and you can follow it through the synoptic gospels of how he walked this earth. And see that birth in his ministry all the way up to the cross. All of that had to be fulfilled. And it was prophesied before. The cross. You can't have the cross without the birth of Jesus, right? Amen. And of course, at that cross is where Jesus died for our sin and sins. He was that sinless Lamb of God. And then we went into Romans 5, 7 through 20. That's Romans 5, 7 through 20. John 3, 16 through 20. And of course, that's just a few scriptures there. That is with the birth and about sin. And how a Savior, Jesus Christ, had to come and die for us is so intertwined in the Scripture. when you look at it from Genesis to Revelations and you study it, and I never get tired of studying the Word of God. We should never get tired of studying the Word of God. I was looking at some new statistics today. It said 9% of Americans read their Bible. 9%. It's sad. From Genesis to Revelation, salvation is the core. It's intertwined in the Holy Scriptures. It is the heartbeat of the Holy Scriptures. And of course, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 7, also points to the resurrection. It's beautiful, the resurrection. That hope, what Scripture says, is our blessed hope, that resurrection. You see, without the resurrection, we would not have a Christian faith. Never let anybody tell you the resurrection is fake. That is not reliable. It can't be proved. I want to tell you, our Bible is more reliable than any history book you pick up. And I know that's controversial, but I will stand on the Word of God to my last breath. And I pray preachers out there and pastors and Bible teachers will stand with me, even when it may cost us our own freedom. Of course, the Bible is the primary source, but a good secondary source is Lee Strobe's Case for Christ. That is Lee Strobe, Case for Christ. So we got the birth, we got the death. This is the resurrection, right? And then that is the new birth. Of course, in Romans 10, 8, it's kind of what evangelists will use, half-truths. And I hit that in the first part of this series, part one. This is part two. But you got to read the full story, the full, and that's just a few scriptures that's intertwined into the whole Bible. You have to look at Romans 10, 9 through 13, even reading more. So that's kind of a little, that's a brief recap of last week. Very brief. Tonight, we're in part two. Amen, right? Thank God for another Wednesday night that we can discuss the Word of God. And we will be in John 3, 1 through 10. That's John 3, chapter 3, 1 through 10. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with you. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Very, very, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very, very, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it list, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and I know not these things? As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come tonight thanking you for your opportunity, Lord, just to give the word that you have laid on my heart to preach and teach tonight. Lord, I pray these words, I know they will not go void. Somebody will hear them. Somebody will get inspired. Somebody will look at their lives differently through these messages. Lord, I know if it's just one person that hears it and changes the course of their life to reflect more of you and less of them, to step from being that lukewarm or indifferent person to be that true disciple of Jesus Christ, to understand what it means to be a child of God, understand how great and beautiful that is, and the price that was paid that was beautiful, that cost us nothing. You paid it. But discipleship can cost. And the cost shouldn't bother us. We should be all in to the end. Persevering, enduring to the end, we will be saved. We know in your divine hand, everything that feels like it's falling apart is falling into place. Nothing has taken you by storm. You created this world, and you will end this world. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. So, we're looking at John 3, 1 through 10. I got me some tea here. Take a little sip here. From my throat. What we have here, we have Jesus and we have Nicodemus. And of course, he was a ruler of the Jews. And he has come to Jesus to get some answers. And I won't go too in depth on Nicodemus and about how the Pharisees and stuff. And that's really not point of this sermon tonight. I encourage you guys to check that out. Pharisees and Sadducees and the Sanhedrin. A quick Google search can give you that. Man, it's amazing about the internet, man. You can just Google almost everything. The term that I want to focus on tonight is the born again. Born again. What we see here in verse 3. Jesus tells Nicodemus something. He said, very, very. Basically, I got something to say. And I say unto thee, except a man. Amen. And of course, we know that could be a man or a woman. Be born again. He or she cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot see the kingdom of God. That is some serious business. Because I don't know about you. I want to go to heaven. And I know Nicodemus wanted to go to heaven too. He wouldn't have been searching for him. It's amazing how we search for him and we ask questions and he does answer us. Sometimes we don't like the answers. And then we look at verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Wow, right? You kind of can think of anatomy and some of you guys may remember your biology class, and obviously Nicodemus understood that and asked his question, how can you be born again? You know, I was a baby once. Or what are you talking about, Jesus, to be born again? Childbirth, right? Thank God for our mothers. Man, they had to endure a lot to give birth to us. I know my mom did. I thank her a lot for giving birth to me. See, my mom had me all natural, right? You don't really hear that too many today. And I'm not bragging. I'm just, she didn't have no medicine. And I was actually born in a midwife's house. A house that a lady, basically through her practice in her house, delivered babies. So I was a faith baby. Literally a faith baby. No medicine. All faith. And I came out all right, thank God. So Nicodemus comes back and says, hey, you know, born again. However, Jesus answered Nicodemus and said, very, very, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit. He adds that up. Water and spirit. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And what that is, which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Wow. You may be scratching your head tonight. Don't scratch it too hard. If you still have some hair to scratch, right? Don't pull it out. See, this can be a misconception of the passage here. There are people that do take this and do twist it. I don't know if they do it intentionally. I don't know. Only if I could talk to them. And we look at the Bible, and I'm always open to talking about the Bible. But you see, they will say a water baptism needs to be done in order for you to be saved. And when I do run across that thought, I always say this. There's many reasons, but one simple is explain the thief on the cross. And they start stuttering and they start backpedaling. And no, you have to be able to explain that to me. See, everything in the Bible is important. And we need to be able to explain it. If you can't explain that, then you have to rethink some of your thought patterns. Do they match up with the Word of God? See here, water is symbolic to the Word of God. Of course, you can see that in John 17:17. John tells us, sanctify them through truth. Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. John 15:3. How ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you, clean by through the word of God, I have cleaned you. So the word of God symbolizes water. This water is the word of God. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. Just think about that. There ain't no magic formula to come to Jesus. He sees your heart. And in the first part, we talked about the heart. He sees your heart. He knows what's going on there. You may not understand all of it, but all you know, you want more of it. You want more of Jesus. When we look at one being born of water and spirit, this is simply being born again by the Holy Spirit using the scriptures. That's beautiful. And of course, this is believing in the birth and the death and the resurrection, right? And of course, this born again experience should lead to a water baptism. Because water baptism is this outward confession of an inner change, a renewed change that you want to let everybody know about that has taken place in your heart. And I'll get more into this in later sessions, but you see, we are a light on the hill. We're a light on that mountain, right? Our light needs to shine. We don't hide our light from this world. We are supposed to be that light of the world. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And that light shines, not because there's anything special about us. Is because the Holy Spirit shines in us. Think about that. That is beautiful, right, guys? So when we look at born again, and when Jesus speaks of the water and spirit, he's not talking about water baptism here. And once water baptism is important, Romans 6 tells you that. I encourage you guys to flip over there and you can read that. I love providing plenty of scriptures. To me, that's the most important. If I misspeak, which I can, I'm human. At least when I speak the scriptures, they're going to speak truth. And of course, correct me if I'm misspeaking. So Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, let's check some of these verses out here. It said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God." Verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." And later on, I will go into verse 10. I'm not leaving it out. What I want to look at here is grace. You guys may have heard this term, grace. Of course, it's important to salvation to understand the grace that God has shown us. And when you look at verse 8, it said, "For by grace are ye saved." By grace are ye saved. Amen. That's beautiful. Now, you may be scratching your head and say, "Well, I never heard of grace," and you may have never heard of the song Amazing Grace, and it's one of my favorite hymns out there. Grace is what we would call unmerited favor. If you want to break that down more, it's basically God gives us something we do not deserve. We deserve hell. We deserve that second death that speaks in Revelation of the lake of fire. We do not deserve forgiveness, but God is willing to forgive us. And we can come right where we're at now, and give our lives, regardless of all the baggage and all the sin that we've done. And trust me, guys, I have a pretty bad past. I ran from God for many years. I've done many things. He will forgive you. That's beautiful. He will forgive you. That's the gift of God. That's His grace. I came across a illustration here. I like to read it to you guys. It's kind of illustrating grace. It was a sermon that was preached. It was called "Why Christ Had to Die." Author was Pastor Stu Biscoe, I think. It's B-R-I-S-C-O-E. Says, "Many years ago, when the children were small, we went for a little drive in the lovely English countryside. There was some fresh snow. I saw a lovely field with not a single blemish of the virgin snow. I stopped the car and I vaulted over to the gate, and I ran across the great big circle, striding as wide as I could. Then I came back to the kids and I said, 'Now, children, I want you to follow in my footsteps. So I want you to run around that circle in that snow, and I want you to put your feet where your father put his feet.' While David tried, he couldn't quite make it. Julie, overachiever, was certain she would make it, but she could not make it. Peter, the little kid, took a great run at it, but his foot in my first footprint, and he dropped out as far as he could and fell on his face. His mother picked him up as he cried. She said to me, 'What are you trying to do?' I said, 'I'm trying to get a sermon illustration.'" And all my pastor friends out there, you probably get that one. Everything tends to be an illustration for us. I said, "I'm trying to get a sermon illustration." I said, "Peter, come here." And he picked up that little Peter and put his left foot on my foot, and I put his right foot on my foot. I said, "Okay, Peter, let's go." I began to strive, one big strive at a time, with my hands under his armpits and his feet lightly on mine. Well, he was doing it. In a sense, he was doing it because I was doing it. In a sense, there was a commitment of the little boy to the big dad. Some of the properties of the big dad were working through the little boy. Exactly the same way, in our powerlessness, we can strive as wide as we should. We don't walk the way we should. We don't hit the target the way we ought. It is not that every point we are as bad as we could be. It's just that at no point are we as good as we should be. Something got to be done. Right? See, Jesus, He's there with us. He knows we're not perfect. He knows we will make mistakes. He knows our past. But His grace covers us. God offers you what you don't deserve, and that is grace. Hopefully that helped a little bit. Grace is a beautiful thing to understand about salvation. Well, you may hear people say the unmerited favor, but grace goes beyond that. It starts in Genesis 3:15. It continues all the way up to, and will continue all the way up to, His coming back. That blessed hope. Grace saves us. The other word that goes with grace is mercy. Mercy. Titus 3:5 says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by washing again, water again, of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And I will get in these terms more in this series. But for tonight, let's look at mercy. Mercy. Mercy saves us, but His mercy saves us. See, Jesus spares us from the bad things that we deserve. That is the bad things that we deserve. Once again, we deserve hell. We do not deserve forgiveness. We do not deserve heaven. But Jesus paid the price for us. The cross, the blood, the atonement, the resurrection, and Him saying He's coming back one day for us. I was reading, and you may guys hear rain. We're finally getting some rain over here in town. So you may hear the beating of the rain on the outside of the. So, but I came across this illustration, and you guys may have heard this story before. It's about a man. He was in town. He was a judge, and he had a boy, a teenager, right? And this teenager, he was really in a rebellious mode, and I can relate. And he was going around town breaking a whole lot of laws in that little town. Of course, his son got caught and was placing a holding cell, waiting trial. And this son is brought into the courtroom, and he's staring at his daddy, the judge, in that small town. As he looked at his son, his heart broke. He had to follow the law. He had to give that sentence. But then he stepped down and told his son, I forgive you, and I will serve your sentence. That is what Jesus did for us. That is mercy. That is grace. That is the heart of salvation, right? We are sinful. We are deprived. We deserve hell. But God says, no, I will send my son, Jesus Christ. Like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever will believe on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. It's beautiful. And he that believe on Him is not condemned. I'm going off of memory, guys. But it's those who don't believe on Him, they are condemned already. Because they do not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I'm going to keep this short. I want to keep about 30 minutes tonight. We're going to look at belief in the next session. Belief. And we're going to look at faith, which is very critical. And repentance. Now, I can touch on repentance really quick. Just want to say this. Repentance is very critical in coming to Christ. And it's very important in remaining in fellowship with Christ. And more of that will come into, clearer, hopefully. But here's the thing, guys. Repentance is meaning turning away from our sin, our sins. And, of course, we're going to look at sin and sins. And in the first session, we looked at the original sin, the curse that entered this world. I encourage you guys to go back, listen to that. It's kind of, I had a lot of things going on, and they weren't really organized. But there's was listening through it. There's a lot of good scriptures in there that I encourage you guys to write down. Go back to the Bible. Search the scriptures for yourself. Don't take my word for it. That's how we should be. When a preacher is up there preaching, do not take his word as solid. As a kid, I was in many churches where the preacher got up there and he misspoke and nobody corrected him and just led to all kind of damage. We need to correct our preachers and correct me. I'm in the pulpit preaching too. I'm doing the online preaching. Correct me if I'm wrong. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not perfect. There may be people out there that think they are, and my hat's off to them. But repentance is simply turning away from your sins, and turning back to God. So in closing tonight, guys, I did a recap of the first part of this sermon series or teaching series. I encourage you guys to go back. We hit certain scriptures in the first sermon series. I'm going to cite these scriptures again because I encourage you guys to go back and look at those. 1 Corinthians 15:1-7. Romans 5:7-20. John 3:16. And then you want to look at John 3:16 and that's 17, 18, 19, 20. And then Romans 10. I don't think I wrote that one down yet. But we looked at Romans 10:8-13. And tonight, we hit on grace. And we hit on mercy. And those things point to the cross. It points to Jesus. It points to salvation. When you speak of salvation, you have to speak of mercy and grace. And of course, a quick way to know how to define grace. Of course, I encourage you guys to look up the scriptures like Ephesians 2:8. And memorize those. Ephesians 2:8-10. We only did 9. 10 will go into works later. And look at mercy. And that's Titus 3:5. It's his mercy that saves us. I would encourage you guys to memorize those scriptures. Also, our first passage in John 3:1-10. We looked at being born again. That's very important. That's nothing hyper charismatic. Don't be scared of that word, born again. When somebody says that, just understand it is possibly, if they're saying it, they're probably going to misuse it. They will try to focus on that as a water baptism will save you, and they can't make, well, what we would say in the country, they can't make that dog hunt. There's too many scriptures pointing otherwise. Water baptism is very important. And try to get them to explain the thief on the cross. And they probably will walk away from you because they can't explain it. That thief on the cross was saved because Jesus said he was saved. And I'm sorry, I'm going to depend on Jesus' words every time and not your man-made thoughts on it. So when we look at that, those passages about being born again, and when Jesus says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. And what is born is of the flesh, flesh is flesh, and that is born of the spirit, spirit is spirit. He's speaking of the word of God and being baptized by the Holy Spirit in your heart, by the scriptures, and of course by belief and faith in those. And we're going to hit on belief and faith and repentance on next session. So I hope these are helping you guys. These sections are very important to get. So when we start talking, when I start talking about somebody that's truly following Jesus and somebody that truly isn't following Jesus because they're not practicing what the Bible says, and there's a simple way and I'm getting ahead of myself, but conviction and chastisement plays a huge role in that. The lack of that kind of points, not my opinion, I will provide scriptures later on, that Jesus says you're not his. So, guys, bow with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to have a voice, to speak truth in a time where truth is short supply. Our nation's in trouble. Our church is in trouble. I pray that my voice is a wake-up call that you have given me. Nothing special about me, but the Holy Spirit that is inside me with a passion of fire to scream at the top of our lungs to wake up, church, wake up, and also to reach those that don't know anything about Jesus, and they may have a hunger, that we be better at equipping ourselves to go out there and to explain the gospel and to explain the hard truths. Lord, I pray once again, Lord, just be with us tonight. Lord, I pray that you know what's going on in each and every one of our lives. You know what's going on. We lift whoever's up there. They may have lost their jobs. Maybe depression, anxiety. Maybe tonight they're thinking about ending their lives. I pray not. Maybe they're just fighting this hopelessness, looking at this whole world situation and realize it's hopeless. It's not going to get no better. But we as children know it will get better because we're not of this world. We have to be in this world, but we are not of this world, Lord. I pray those that had studies tonight, that the Bible teachers or preachings, that the preachers up there, they spoke the word of truth. They didn't instill the world view of what it means to be a Christian. They instill through the scripture what it means to be a Christian and a follower of Jesus. Once again, Lord, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to preach tonight, teach tonight. I pray that it reaches whoever it needs to reach to. In your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night. Remember, you can hit me up on Facebook. You can hit me up on my website. I have Poller. I think that's how you say it. I'm on Twitter. I have my phone number on my website. There are many ways you can get a hold of me. I encourage you guys to. Thank you. Y'all have a good night.